Let's read together 2 Samuel chapter 20. In this chapter, we have the short-lived rebellion of Sheba from the tribe of Benjamin. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses. 2 Samuel chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And there happened to be there a rebel whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no share in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So every man of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah from the Jordan as far as Jerusalem remained loyal to their king. Now David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in seclusion and supported them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood. And the king said to Amasa, "Assemble the men of Judah for me within 3 days, and be present here yourself." So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time which David had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba the son of Bichri will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and escape us." So Joab's men, with the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men went out after him, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the large stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa came before them. Now Joab was dressed in battle armor. On it was a belt with a sword fastened in its sheath at his hips. And as he was going forward, it fell out. Then Joab said to Amasa, "Are you in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Joab's hand, and he struck him with it in the stomach, and his entrails poured out on the ground, and he did not strike him again. Thus he died. Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba, the son of Bichri. Meanwhile, one of Joab's men stood near Amasa and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, follow Joab." But Amasa wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway. When the man saw that all the people stood still, he moved Amasa from the highway to the field and threw a garment over him when he saw that everyone who came upon him halted. When he was removed from the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 20, with some background notes. This is one of the stories in the Bible that you probably didn't learn about in Sunday school when you were a child, right? And there are no pictures of this event in the Sunday school papers or in the Bible story books. We've seen pictures of David slinging a stone at Goliath in children's Bible story books, but we have yet to see a picture of Amasa lying in the middle of the road after his cruel death by Joab. Well, there is no need to play up the gory and gruesome murders in the Bible, but it is important to note that this was Joab's third murder. First Abner, then Absalom, and now Amasa. And Amasa was Joab's cousin. They were both nephews of David. So while Joab did support David and was certainly a capable and valiant military man, he was certainly not Mr. Nice Guy. And political ambition, certainly more than loyalty to David, motivated Joab. In fact, in this chapter, Joab directly went against David's military orders by killing Amasa, David's new general, and then taking over the army from his brother Abishai. It looks like Joab systematically planned Amasa's murder at Gibeon. He probably purposely wore his sword in a way so that it would fall out on the ground as he moved forward to greet Amasa. Thus, Amasa was not on guard when Joab naturally picked up his sword and struck Amasa in the stomach so that he died. We'll see at the end of the chapter that Joab was able to maintain his position as general of David's army because he was successful in quelling the rebellion of Sheba, a rebellion that could have resulted in further civil war. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Samuel chapter 20. Doctrinal point number one: one foolish man can divide a fellowship. one foolish man can divide a fellowship. We read in verse 1 that a man named Sheba started a rebellion. He took advantage of the falling out between the tribe of Judah in the south and the 10 tribes in the north that we saw at the end of chapter 19. Rather than try and bring peace to the situation, Sheba blew a trumpet and got a number of northern Israelis to follow him by saying, "We have no share in David, nor do we have an inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." Verse 1. As a result, the united effort to bring David back as king that we saw at the beginning of chapter 19, that effort is now fractured by this rebel, Sheba. Verse 1 calls him a rebel, or troublemaker, or worthless fellow. The Hebrew here is literally son of Belial. This certainly was a further satanic attempt to bring the dynasty of David to an end, because Satan knew that the Messiah was to come through the line of David. The fact that Sheba was a Benjamite, and maybe in the house of Saul, gave him some clout, and he was able to mount this rebellion. The right man at this juncture could have brought healing and peace to the nation instead of further division. You know, that's the way it always is. The wise peacemakers are blessed, but they are more rare than the foolish friction and faction makers. This is not only true in the affairs of a nation and government, but in the church as well. One foolish man can divide a fellowship. How often this has been the case in the history of the church. Whether it be in the area of false doctrine, or personality clashes, or prideful jealousy, one foolish man can divide a fellowship. James chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." James 3:5. In 3 John, we read about Diotrephes, who loved to be first in the fellowship and would not be subject to apostolic authority. As it was in David's day and in the day of the early church, so it is today. One foolish man can divide a fellowship. That's why the Lord commends the peacemakers so highly in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, because one foolish man can divide a fellowship. Doctrinal point number 2, one wise woman can save the day. One wise woman can save the day. Verses 14 through 22. "And he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel and Beth Maacah and all the Berites. So they were gathered together and also went after Sheba. Then they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth Maacah, and they cast up a siege mound against the city, and it stood by the rampart. And all the people who were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then a wise woman cried out from the city, 'Hear, hear, please say to Joab, come nearby that I may speak with you.' When he had come near to her, the woman said, 'Are you Joab?' He answered, 'I am.' Then she said to him, 'Hear the words of your maidservant.' And he answered, 'I am listening.' So she spoke, saying, 'They used to talk in former times, saying, they shall surely seek guidance at Abel, and so they would end disputes. I am among the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?' And Joab answered and said, 'Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not so. But a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, has raised his hand against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city.' So the woman said to Joab, 'Watch, his head will be thrown to you over the wall.' Then the woman, in her wisdom, went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem." Sheba made his way north, recruiting rebels as he went, and finally took refuge in the walled city of Abel Beth Maacah, in the far north of Israel. When Joab and David's army arrived at Abel Bethmaachah, they built a siege mound and prepared to break down the wall and slaughter the whole city, if that's what it would take to get Sheba and end the rebellion. It was at this point that a wise woman of the city called out to Joab and talked to him using reason and logic. "Joab, are you going to destroy a whole city for one man? This city has been an important city in Israel for years. You don't have to tear down the wall. We'll give you the head of the man you're seeking. Why be a butcher when you can do a better job as a surgeon?" So Joab listened to reason and agreed with logic, and the wise woman communicated this to the people of the city, and they executed the rebel Sheba and threw his head over the wall, and the city was saved. Again, I haven't seen this biblical event in VeggieTales yet, but the lesson is certainly here. One wise woman saved the day. You know, God has wise women today to deal with problems and save the day in homes, in churches, and in nations. Illustration. Think of how God used the wisdom of Golda Meir to save the day concerning the new state of Israel. Be open to the counsel of a wise woman, maybe your mother or your wife. One wise woman can save the day. Now, what about practical application from 2 Samuel chapter 20? Would we be as loyal as Adoram? Would we be as loyal as Adoram? Verses 23 through 26. 2 Samuel chapter 20, beginning now at verse 23. "And Joab was over all the army of Israel. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and the Pelethites. Adoram was in charge of revenue. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Sheva was scribe. Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. And Ira, the Gerite, was a chief minister under David." In these verses, we have a list of David's officials, his cabinet members, and chiefs of state. Adoram, verse 24, was over the forced labor, that is, the POWs who were captured and put on public works projects, which could be done, by the way, according to the law in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 10 and 11. Adoram was not only a loyal servant of David, but we find in 1 Kings chapters 4 and 5 that he went on to be a loyal servant of Solomon as well. And then we read in 1 Kings chapter 12 that Adoram continued to loyally serve the kingdom of Judah under King Rehoboam in Jerusalem. Even though Rehoboam made some bad decisions, Adoram was loyal to the point of death. As a loyal elder statesman, Adoram was sent on a mission to the northern kingdom of Israel, which was in the process of being established under King Jeroboam I. We read in verse 18 of 1 Kings chapter 12 that all Israel stoned Adoram to death. Adoram's loyalty to his king cost him his life. Adoram was loyal to the point of death. Question, what about our loyalty to our king, the Lord himself? Would we be as loyal as Adoram?